We've been talking together about intentional living. We talked, we call it I Life, how we can live a life of purpose on purpose. And so we started talking about I Worship, how instead of just showing up and letting it happen, that we intentionally live a life of worship to the Lord. And then we talked about I Pray, how we can effectively use prayer as a part of our lives and how we can intentionally include that in who we are. We talked about I Work and how our work can actually be a means by which we can glorify God. We can serve Him even in our work. And today, I want us to think together about I Play. That even in our play, even in our leisure time, we can intentionally serve and glorify the Lord. Most of us spend a lot of time at play, participating in sports or watching sports, playing Angry Words or Birds with Friends on the phones, liking a post or favoriting a tweet, playing solitaire on the computer or playing bridge with your friends, watching movies or watching TV, going on a drive through the park, or just hanging out and telling jokes. The list can go on and on. But if you think about it, we spend a lot of time in our lives at play, things that don't really necessarily matter, but we just enjoy them. We do all kinds of things. For some of you, play is pulling weeds out of the flower bed. I personally don't get that. But hey, if that's your play, you know, that's fine. I understand. We spend all kinds of time in our leisure time and in play and finding things that we enjoy, our hobbies. Play is actually a big part of our lives. It's so big that we need to make sure that we spend that time intentionally. I think too many of us see that leisure time or that play time kind of like a pause button. You know, I'm going to work and serve the Lord, and I'm going to do all that I can to make my life worthwhile and meaningful and purposeful. And He is my Lord, and I'm His servant, and I'm going to do everything I can for Him. But every once in a while, I've got to stop and pause and relax and kind of be me for a little bit, and then I'll get back to that life. And I think when we see it that way, we've misunderstood it. Because the bottom line is Jesus is Lord of all. He's Lord of our entire lives. We don't always recognize His Lordship, but He is Lord. He is the King of all kings. It's not just a pause button in our lives. It is an important part of our lives, and we need to give it some thought. The Encyclopedia Britannica says play is an integral part of human nature. Throughout history, humans have invented sporting and gaming activities as a means to socialize, to display skills and prowess, and to entertain or offer excitement. Plays a big part of our lives. We have to make sure that we're living that part of our lives in accordance with Scripture. So I looked. If that's such a big, important part of our lives, what does Scripture have to say about it? So I looked it up in Scripture. I wanted to see what does the Bible say about play. And what I found was that it doesn't directly address it, any more than it directly addresses breathing or sleeping or personal hygiene. Scripture just assumes that we sleep and that we breathe and that we take a bath from time to time, and so it refers to those things as normal everyday parts of life, and that is the way that it deals with play as well. Paul, Luke, and the writer of Hebrews all use sports metaphors to discuss important aspects of life. They all use these metaphors because they know it's just a part of everyday life. In Acts 13 and 25, it says, while John was completing his course, that word for course means a race. Acts 20, 24, so that I may finish my course. Romans 9, 16, the man who runs. 1 Corinthians 9, run in such a way that you may win. Compete in the games. Run in such a way, box in such a way, discipline my body, all in 1 Corinthians 9. Galatians 2, 2, I might be running or had run in vain. Galatians 5, 7, you were running well. Philippians 2, 16, I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Philippians 3, 14, I press on toward that goal for the prize. 1 Timothy 1, fight the good fight. That word for fight is used in wrestling or boxing. 1 Timothy 6, I have fought. Or I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight. And I finished the race. Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, we can't ignore play. The Bible doesn't ignore it. It just assumes it's a part of who we are. Play gives us the opportunity to relax, to refocus. Al Ringel was one of those men in my life who stepped up and became a father figure when my dad died early. He was the minister of recreation at First Baptist Waco at that time. We had what we called an activities building. Now everybody calls them Family Life Center. Hopefully we're going to call ours something similar to that when we have one. But I grew up going over to the activities building all the time. We played basketball, we skated on the gym floor, we played pool. Al was also the RA leader, and so every Wednesday I would go over to the activities building, and he would be the RA guy, and he'd teach us and train us, and he loved on us, and he kind of unofficially adopted me and took care of me. And I'll always remember that he taught me that recreation is re-creation. If you look at the word, that's what it says, isn't it? Recreation is re-creation. God created. We talked last time when we were talking about I work. We reminded ourselves that in the beginning, God worked. In the beginning, God created. He spent 6 days creating all of the physical universe. And then on the seventh day, he rested from his labors. That word rested in that context just means he stopped. He was done. His work was over. And he stopped. In the New Testament, Jesus says to his disciples at one point, hey, you guys have been really busy and the crowds are really crazy. So, and yeah, that's my paraphrase. But he says, the crowds are crazy and y'all have been busy. Let's pull away for a while. Let's set ourselves apart for a while because we need some downtime. You see, the example that God gave us in the beginning actually became a part of how he built us. He built us with a need for a cycle where we create, we work, we serve, and we stop for a while so that we can refocus, so that we can re-energize, so that we can re-create. It's a part of the cycle. We even see it in nature, don't we, in farming. God built it into his plan in the Old Testament where he said, okay, you can work the fields for so long, but then after a certain length of time, stop and let that field have a rest. Let it kind of get caught up. Recreate, if you will. So we see in Scripture that a time for recreation, a time for rest, a time for refocusing is a part of the plan. It's a part of who we are. A pastor said to his friend one day, I'm not going to take a vacation this year. The devil never takes a vacation. The friend said, well, when you get home, read the Gospels And you'll find how it recorded at least 10 times that Jesus found time to take a rest. Now, whose example are you going to follow? We need that rest and that relaxation. We need recreation. Play is a part of who we are. You're not too sure about that? Look at children. Children think everything's a game. And the younger they are, the more they think that. Life is all about fun. Everything's a game. As we grow, we learn that we have to kind of balance that, but that shows us that it's a part of our nature, who we are. Play is a big part of what it means to be human. Since play is such a huge part of who we are, we don't want to ignore it. We can't keep it separate from our relationship with Christ. Dave Gwynn used to say, if he, meaning Christ, if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I mean, by definition, Lord is Lord of all. You can't say, Jesus, you can be in charge of my church life, you can be in charge of my family life, you can be in charge of my work life, but hey, playtime is my time. Because what you just told him was, you're not really the Lord, and I'm not really your follower. If he's Lord, he is Lord. And if you follow him wholeheartedly. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 speaks to that very thing. We were just in Colossians 3 last week. I want to back up a few verses. In Colossians 3 at 17, it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed, every part of your life, you see, whatever you do, whatever you say, all of the things that encompasses your behavior and what you talk about and your attitudes, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In order to intentionally keep our play under the Lordship of Christ, we need to be careful about two things. First, I have to be careful about my attitude. If I'm going to keep play under the Lordship of Christ, I'm going to recognize Him as the Lord. I'm going to submit all things to Him. If I'm going to do that, I have to be careful about my attitude when it comes to play. A child is watching his team play baseball. A man walks up and says, "How's the game?" The child replies, "We're losing 18-0. The man tells the boy, "Well, don't be discouraged." The little boy looks at him kind of odd. He says, "Why should I be discouraged? My team hadn't even been up to bat yet." It's all about attitude. It's all about attitude. So much of life is about attitude, isn't it? You know, so many of the people who are unhappy most of the time is because of the attitudes they've chosen along the way. So much of life is about attitude. The same thing is true about our play. If we're going to be able to say, Jesus really is Lord of my whole life, including my play time, we're going to be able to say that. We need to be careful about our attitudes. So Paul says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, what does that mean? To do something in the name of Christ. Well, I think there are a lot of things to think about there, and we won't take a whole lot of time on all of them. But first, and I think probably the most obvious, is when you accept Christ, you are called a Christian. You take His name for yourself. I'm a Christian. Separates me from Buddhists, from Muslims, from Jews, from the lost. I'm Christian. And when you call yourself a Christian, you're taking the name of Jesus Christ for yourself. Actually, more appropriately, we might say he is giving you his name. That word Christian, by the way, that was originally a derogatory term. Folks were kind of making fun of this new sect, this new group that was following the way. And as this new group followed what they called the way, people around them said, oh yeah, those are the ones who think the Christ has already come. They're the Christians, the Messiahists would be another word for that. Christ means Messiah. Those are the Messiahists who think Messiah's already come. It was a derogatory thing, but very quickly the Christians saw it as a badge of honor to take the name of Christ. It's an honor to live as a representative of Jesus himself. The name means that we belong to him. It is our identity. The name not only means identity, but it also means authority. You remember in the old movies, bad guys are running away, good guys are chasing them, and the good guys yell, stop, in the name of the law. We don't hear that very often anymore. Things have changed pretty dramatically in how cops chase bad guys, but we won't get into that this morning, Phil. But there was a time when they could say, stop in the name of the law. Based on the authority I have representing the law, you either stop or I'll shoot. I have authority in the name of the law. It was the name that carried that authority. When I write a check, you know what I'm doing. I write a check and at the bottom I sign my name. Well, when the bank sees my name, that is what gives them authority to take money out of my account. My name carries that authority. When all the lawmakers get together, if they ever really get together, they get together and they work out a plan and they come up with a bill. The bill goes to the president's desk. How does the bill become law? When the president adds his authority to it, he signs his name. You see, when we call ourselves Christians and when we live in the name of Christ, we are living in his authority. We're saying, I'm one of his, therefore I have the authority to represent him. That's why we have to be very careful about our attitudes in our play life, in our leisure time. Because even in those times we are representing Christ, we are acting upon his authority. We are living in his name. Shakespeare asked, what's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. It doesn't really matter what you call it. A rose is a rose. Whatever you call it, it's still going to be a nice smelling flower. But in the Bible, it's different. In the Bible, names are important. As a matter of fact, names are so important that when somebody's life changed dramatically, often their names were changed to show that dramatic change. Names mean something. There was a time when Judah was an honored name. To be associated with Judah was powerful. It had authority, it had respect, it reverence almost. But the equivalent of that name is Judas. How many of you named your firstborn Judas? See, there's something about the name that does matter. Names are important. So we're told in Colossians, whatever you do in action or in word, do it in the name of Jesus. With him as your identity, with him as your authority, when we're working or playing, or doing anything else in life, we have to keep in mind who we are and whose we are. All we say and all we do should be associated with the name of Jesus. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul says it this way, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it in a way that brings Him glory. Again, he says in 1 Corinthians 6, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. When we talk about our bodies are a temple, sometimes that is misapplied and misinterpreted. What that means is that if you're a Christian, if you have accepted Christ, then God has placed His Holy Spirit within you. And that's what makes it a temple, not because your body is something, but because God resides there. That's what makes it a temple. When we accept Christ and allow Him to change us and make us into His own child, then He puts His Holy Spirit within us. And we have to remember that we are not our own. We glorify Him then. In order to intentionally keep our play under the Lordship of Christ, we have to be careful about two things. We have to be careful about our attitude, and I have to be careful about my gratitude. You see in the verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Giving thanks through Him. All of life is a gift.